Hey, TABC family. Welcome back to the podcast. We're glad to have you with us as we seek to go deeper into Sunday's teaching and ask the questions that will help us live out God's word in our daily lives. That's why we do this podcast, to equip the followers of Jesus here at 12 to grow in obedience and affection for him every day. Our hope is that at 12, we would be a biblical community of kingdom people who are joining God in the restoration of all things, one person, one place at a time. And our desire is that our time together today equips you to do just that. Thanks for being with us. Let's jump in.
Hey, everybody. It is your long-lost friends, Jordan and Garen. We're finally back after, was it been 2 or 3 weeks?
It's been like three, I think.
It's been a while. A year.
Yeah.
It's probably been a very peaceful 3 weeks for our listeners. They haven't heard us stumble over ourselves. And
yeah, like Adam's got to lift another podcast now. Maybe he won't even listen anymore. I don't know. We might have lost him.
Everyone's left us for the Craig Groeschel podcast now. So, man, if you're still out there and you're still listening, we really appreciate you because that means you haven't left.
So we probably need to give a K-State shout to keep those guys interested, keep them on.
You got to give a Chief shout out. You got to give a K-State shout out. We got to get everybody back.
K-State signed all their big guys. I mean, Chiefs, K-State's back in the NIT. What else? We got to keep them. Like,
I'm going to refrain from commenting so that those fan bases stay happy with us. Okay, Garen, we are going to get right into the good stuff. We had one more week talking about Trinity. And, you know, as soon as we think we're out, Garen, you pull us back in with this Trinity thing. And so you had one last week with us here to talk about it. But before we even get into what you talked about Sunday, you just shared something with me a minute ago before we turned the mics on that this message kind of came out of nowhere for you.
I mean, it was kind of there, but this was not going to be the majority of what it was about. And I felt Friday at 9, I don't claim a lot of moves of God in my heart, but I felt a pretty strong one that I needed to take it a different direction.
Man. So this was, I mean, you talk about being spirit-led. This whole message was pretty spirit-led, it sounds like. I mean, hopefully they all are.
But. Yeah, well, hopefully they all are, but I'm not sure of that.
But especially this one, pretty dramatic. That's pretty cool. So you kind of wrapped up Trinity for us. You went over the basics again that, you know, he is not a singular God. He is a God of plurality, a God of community. Talked about how Augustine said there's nothing more dangerous in error, nothing more laborious in inquiry, and nothing more profitable with the payoff of the Trinity, which I just love that quote.
Yeah. And I've left that first phrase alone till now. So what's he talking about? There's nothing more dangerous than to get it wrong.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
And that's kind of why I knew at some point I needed to address that and to come to that.
You talk about our need to hold to orthodoxy in this and to hold to that paradox of one and many.
Yeah, the tensions.
That tension. We got to live in that tension because when we don't, we dabble in heresy.
Yeah.
We can tend towards just one or the other.
Yep.
And it's so important we sit in the middle of that, which is hard for us because we want to run to one extreme or the other.
Yeah, we want to understand it fully.
Yes.
And so that's our human nature. It's like, I want to figure it out. And that pushes me to one side or the other.
Right. And so in that, you mentioned modalism, which it was a new word for many of us. I think I probably heard it in college and hadn't heard it since. So I needed a refresher. So it was new for us. But essentially, you talked about this line of thinking that does not line up with scripture, but that some people still ascribe to these days, which is called modalism. And it's this idea that God is, he is Holy Spirit. He is Son. He is Father. But he is not those things at the same time. That he will change modes or change forms
like
to become each of them.
Changing masks or something.
He's got
three different personalities or shows us three different sides of himself. That's probably more accurate.
So, Garen, to me, that was a little out of left field. Can you just share why because we were talking about good stuff. It's like, oh, we're on the Trinity. We're talking about what's true. And then, bang, modalism pops up. Why was that so important to share?
Yeah, the main reason is, and I said yesterday, is it is still around. It's not super big, but it is out there. And I just was telling you in my first year as a believer in our church, a guy came in and spent 3 weeks and talked about the major cults. And he said that most people who make a conversion from one church into a cult are evangelicals. And it's because they really don't know their faith very well. And they don't know these other beliefs. And so they're sucked into the community without realizing what's underneath. And so I have this conviction of a need to let people know that if there is some error out there that I need to And it's not massive, but it is there. And like I said yesterday, I said there is a church in our region, our area that teaches that. And I just don't want somebody to end up at church and be like, oh, I like this place. They're really nice people. And then you end up being taught that God is like Hawkeye, like Clint Barton, right?
Right.
And Ronan, that you lose that Trinitarian view of God.
Yes. Without maybe even realizing
it. Yeah. Or being a place that's what they teach and you don't realize it till 2 or 3 years in.
Yeah.
So I just feel like I need to make people aware of those things.
So basically you're trying to scare people into not leaving 12th.
Yes.
Hey, don't leave.
Yes. The old spring the scare tactics.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll do that every week. I'll just invent some idea that's out there and make some up.
What's that thing you say from SNL?
Oh, that's the ticket.
That's the ticket. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Tell me this, Garen. People who are modalists, how do they explain the Bible?
I know.
How do they explain the baptism of Jesus? How do they explain Jesus communing with the Father during his time on earth? I mean, maybe you don't know because you're not a modalist, but what would they say to that?
Yeah, I don't. It's really hard.
It seems like a stack of cards
or
a house cards. Yeah. It is really easy to knock down.
Right. Like who's he talking to when he's praying the Father? I think they would say that one I'm not sure about. Maybe he's talking to himself, but he's saying it in that way I'm not sure. The baptism one, I was talking to somebody yesterday morning. I'm like, well, if he's in the Jesus mask, well, when he had that mask, he said, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. I said, so why would you just baptize in Jesus? But then I remembered, because I knew a modalist, that in Acts, there's a couple of times it says they just baptized in the name of Jesus. And they said, well, that's the reason is because you're baptized in this mode of the Jesus mode of who God is. And so you're only baptized in the name of Jesus. It still doesn't make sense, a lot of sense. Because still I'm like, but Jesus said in Matthew 28:18-20, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Right.
So wouldn't you take him serious if he says that? Even if he's just in the Jesus face. Mm. But if he says that, wouldn't you do it? So, yeah.
I just thought of this, but you know, Jesus' appearance in the Old Testament is now out because unless there's no God
right.
in heaven
you have,
during
right.
that.
You have no Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. You have no, angel of the Lord.
We've got the return of Christ one day, literally like the house is empty in heaven because nobody's home because Jesus is now coming.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just a lot of holes in this.
Yeah, a lot of holes in it. And so, I was just telling you again, if the place you're maybe most likely to hear this is maybe the form of Christianity that tends to hold this, again, it's pretty minor, but might be on television, religious broadcasting. So just be careful when you watch things and what you take in because, again, it's not a major thing that's out there, but it is out there. And I feel like, and even if it's in your community, I feel like I need to say something about it.
Yeah.
So.
And I appreciate that you're saying that because you told me in the past, we've got to inoculate these things, right?
Yes.
Meaning you have got to be on the lookout for it before you get into it. Because if you stumble into something, it's hard to get yourself out of it.
Yeah.
And
right.
So I really appreciate that you're caring for our body in that way and you care about us. And all jokes aside, even if somebody left 12th and went somewhere else, you would want them to find a good Bible-believing church and not get wrapped up in something
place
like
committed
this.
To orthodoxy. That's
so
right.
You did it in love, and I knew your heart behind it, but I wanted everybody else to be clear on that too. So that was really good. We appreciate that. Okay, enough with false doctrine. We got
to
talk.
Yeah, let's get to the real deal.
We got
to
talk about orthodoxy here. Talk about good stuff. So talk about Trinity and prayer. You said that you know normally the pattern of prayer we see in the Bible is that we would pray to the Father through Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And Garen, I just got to play devil's advocate here for a second. So explain to me how that doesn't make God the top dog. Like if we're praying to God and Jesus is simply our pathway there and the Holy Spirit, essentially tells us what to say in that or helps us with that. How is it not all just leading to the Father? It seems like he really is supreme here.
Yeah. Well, there's some, you know, when we talked about the shyness of the Trinity and deference, there is a sense that Jesus in coming, the scripture talks about that he submitted himself to the will of the Father. And so there is submission even not just baked in the universe. There's even, we see acts of submission baked into the Trinity. And so all through the Old Testament, prayer was to the Father. That's all they knew, right? That's how God was just that to them. And so Jesus comes and he's like, I'm the way to the Father, but there's three persons in this. And I feel like I'm stumbling in this, but there's this sense, you know, in 1 Corinthians 11, it says Father's the head of Jesus. Jesus is the head of the man. I mean, some of that language. Mm-hmm. So there is a sense that Jesus has chosen to live in submission to the Father in some ways. They're all in submission to each other, but in some ways to the Father. And so that's just when scripture talks about prayer, it just tends to talk about more to the Father.
Yeah.
Primarily.
And you kind of cleared it up later as we're going to talk about here in a sec about how we can pray to Jesus directly, how we can pray to the Holy Spirit directly. And I really love what you said about that. So I want to get to that in 1 minute. But before, could I have permission to just ask a silly question?
Yes, Garen? Ask a silly.
Okay. Garen, why don't we pray to saints? Why don't we pray to Mary? It seems like people who do that, you know, find a lot of value in it. And it helps them a lot. So like, why would we not do that too? Why are you putting us in a cage, Garen? Why can we only pray to the Trinity?
Yeah, that's because number one, I think if you only read the Bible with zero tradition, you wouldn't even come to the idea, I'm pretty convinced, that I should be talking to somebody who's died, mm-hmm. who is a human, mm-hmm. even though they lived a great life, that I don't need to be talking to any of those guys. That God is the person you talk to. He's the one who is the supreme, you know, he is the great I am. He's the Lord of heaven's armies. He's the one who is there, who cares, who sees ahead of time, who provides. He's all of that. There's no human as that. So
right.
if you just gave me a Bible, I wouldn't even come to the conclusion of talking to somebody that died before. Uh-huh. I don't see it there.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't come to that conclusion. And to me, it's pretty clear. It's just, God is the one we talk to,
yeah,
the Trinitarian God. So,
okay, I'm with you. What about our Catholic friends and maybe even family who do ascribe to that? I mean, can you talk about, because you grew up with kind of you grew up in Hayes, Catholic
around,
population. Uh-huh. I'm sure you're familiar with those ideas. What's the draw of that then? If it's not biblical, why are so many people who are following Jesus, why are they doing that?
Yeah, I think it's that idea. It's a longing for a mediator that's built into us, a longing for a little bit of a go-between, like somebody, it comes, I think, part of what's at the heart of it is a sense that maybe the God, the Father is pretty distant. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, we sang the song yesterday, he's a good, good father. That's who you are. Mm-hmm. That a lot of people, when they think religiously, he's kind of far away in the sense of, I need somebody who's a little closer to me, who can, if I talk to them, they could kind of lean on him a little bit. They mm-hmm. might have more influence. Like mm-hmm. if they're a saint, they have more influence with him. I think that's kind of what's underneath it. But what scripture is clear, I didn't reference scripture yesterday. I could have in 1 Timothy. He says, there's one mediator between the Father and man, and it's Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So there is a need for a mediator, but it's taken care of with the second person, the Trinity. And I don't need a human of any kind. I don't care how great they appear to be that with me. Jesus is the one who paved the way. And so.
Yeah. So maybe at the heart of all that is a misunderstanding of scripture.
Yeah, I think a misunderstanding of God, of seeing him as kind of distant.
Or even just a lack of knowledge about scripture.
Like yeah.
Maybe they don't, people who do that don't realize these things are in the Bible, and this is maybe much easier than we're doing it.
Yeah.
It's much simpler.
And if you go up around something, you just hear it done all the time and you do it. And
yeah, tradition probably just plays a big role in that too.
But, you know, if anybody has questions about that or wants to ever talk about it, that's the thing. I'd love to talk about it. But that's part of what we do is just ask, like, what scripture is what we base everything on. What's it say about the topic?
Very good.
What does it not say? So
very good. Okay. Can we get back into you talking about praying to the Son and praying to the Holy Spirit and how those things are different? But actually, I'm going to interject one more time. We're going to get to that in a sec. I keep teasing that. But there's another question that popped up as you were teaching, Garen.
Man, you've got a lot today.
It was a really thought-provoking sermon. And you were talking about, I think you told a story of how you were starting to speak to the congregation about how you felt the Holy Spirit speak to you or move you in small ways. And you were talking about bringing coffee to somebody. And to you, it was insignificant. But to them, it was big. And it just became really clear that God had told you to do this, and it's a pattern in your life where you've become really good at listening for the Holy Spirit and being obedient to him. And I think the question that came into my mind, Garen, was like, I want to ask Garen how often in his quiet time or his prayer time, or even just in his daily life, does he feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking to him? And what if I'm going through my life and I don't feel that strongly? Am I doing something wrong, or do I just need to be more quiet and listen longer? Can you take me through that?
Wow, that's really a good question. I don't. So the one thing I just was hearing last week, somebody who wrote a biography of Elizabeth Elliot, a person, if you know her story, a lot of respect. And she talked about, I try to keep my feelings out of my spirituality as much as possible because they mess me up. I just know the truth and try to live on it. So I don't know how often I, when those things happen, it's not even that I feel the spirit. It's just somebody challenged me a few years ago to just open space for God to put a name on my mind, or even through the day, if somebody, it just happened a little bit ago. Somebody I care about came to my mind. I just said a prayer, because what he'd said is it may just be out of your head, and it doesn't hurt if you pray for somebody out of your head. But if that name came by the Holy Spirit, maybe there's something going on. Mm-hmm. And so he just was challenging me, when names pop into your head, just stop and say a prayer. It may be from the Spirit, it may not. And then send him a text and just say, I just want you to know I prayed for you. And I did. And this guy called me right back because he so badly needed to talk to somebody about something.
So worst case scenario, you pray for someone, encourage them. And it wasn't Spirit-led. That's the worst case scenario.
That's worst case scenario.
The best case scenario, God is using you to accomplish something.
If the Spirit, and I just don't know. When I'm sending it, I cannot tell you the difference. So I don't even know that I ever get feelings, but just names will come up. And my friend had said, just step into it. It might be, that's what I would say. I think it might be from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And if it is, do you not want to live into that and step into it and maybe send something? And I thought, yeah, there's no harm, no foul. Mm. So I just try to do that. And it doesn't happen all the time. I'm not every day having names pop into my head.
Yeah.
Probably a lot of times when I'm praying and I'm in that open, I think I said a second service, I'm in that quiet space. One, my brain runs off into 100 tangents.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to be quiet, but I'm not getting every day a name. But if one comes up in that prayer time, or like I said, if I'm just driving and a name comes up, I just am like, okay, that might be the Holy Spirit. I don't know. I think I told you like 6 months ago, somebody in our church, their name came up to me. I was driving. I prayed for him. I thought, I'll shoot him a text. I thought, I don't need to send a text. And then I ran into him in the donut store the very next morning, like 12 hours later. And we had a pretty good conversation. I'm like, they were discouraged about something. I said, I should have sent that because to them to say, oh, by the way, God put you on my mind yesterday. That sounds a little fake, right? Oh, sure.
Or it's like, hey, God put you on my mind, but I wasn't obedient and I didn't really encourage you. So
that was just a reminder when I get those, just act on it. That's what I encourage people. Yeah. I don't look for a feeling from the Holy Spirit. Just if God puts something on your mind, say a prayer right then. Send a text as soon as you can. Just say, I prayed for you.
Okay.
And that's it. There's not a lot of feeling in it. I'm just trying to have, I believe the Spirit wants to do this sometimes, and I just have the space. It's not a feeling thing at all.
Yeah.
I never feel like a glow or hear a weird,
The clouds don't part
and
they don't spell out someone's name.
Nothing like that.
You probably don't remember this, but we drove back with students from Passion one time, and I asked you about this, and you told me just that. You know, create space for a name or for something to happen, and then just be obedient to it. And worst case scenario, you encourage someone, and best case scenario, God's using you in something big. So I like that a lot. That's encouraging. But let me ask you this, Garen. Maybe that sounds great to me, and I want to do that too. But that's never happened to me, and I don't even know step one. Like, take me through that.
So again, there's a lot of steps. I just started, my first encouragement was in your prayer time, don't just go through your list or the things on your heart, but just pause and I think it was from Richard Foster, actually. It was his book, Celebration Discipline. In that chapter on prayer, I think he says, God's not going to have you pray for everybody. Don't have a list of 100, but I think he just said, but just ask God, is there anybody you want me to pray for? And if a name or a situation comes up, again, I will not tell you 100% he did it, but if it came up, then I'll pray for it.
Yeah.
If nothing comes up, which happens, then I don't. So I think it's just stopping and just asking that question. I mean, don't you think God values that? If you anybody you care about, hey, anything you want to talk about?
Right.
Just to give them space.
Right.
Because prayer for me for a long time is I just talk.
Yeah.
And there was zero space if God wanted to talk. And so I'm just trying to create a little. Yeah. I'm not great at this, Jordan.
Yeah.
But and then just that when you, let me just give you a quick example. I don't want to spend a bunch of our time, but when I started really living this a few years ago, I was driving and an old student from Syria popped in my mind and it was Saad, and I prayed for him. And then I thought, well, I'm going to text him. So I just pulled to the side of the road. I texted him. I said, hey, Saad, I just wanted you to know, he's not even a believer, but I said, I just wanted you to know, praying for you. And he goes, oh, he said, that's cool. He says, do you know what? We're 5 miles south of Emporia. I'm like, what are you kidding me? I thought he was in New York, but he came back to Kansas City, visited a Syrian there. They drove to Texas. They were driving back. They were just south of Emporia. And I ended up going over and meeting with them. Hmm. But if I had not responded, if I had not just said a prayer and sent that text, I would not have known they were so close to town.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen all the time. But if God wants to give me that, I'd love to have it.
Yeah.
So why not? And Richard Foster says in his book, he thinks the spiritual life's almost like scientific experiments, right? Scientists will try and try and try, and they may fail 100 times, but yeah. you don't give up. And so, you know, you may do this for a year and be like, well, nobody ever tells me I needed to hear that, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Just live into it. So
totally. And if I remember right, Foster, in that same chapter, because I really love that book, he says that we are to pray for the things that we really care about, that we're not supposed to just go through a list of saying, oh, I'll pray for this, I'll pray for that. It's like God cares about what's on your heart. And so even if you just give those things to him, God, I'm really passionate about this thing. Like if I create some space, would you show me how to pray for that?
Yeah.
Or I don't know, there's a situation that's really broken and I'm really emotionally invested uh-huh. in it. If I just give you some space, would you teach mm-hmm. me, would you give me yep. a word or a
yes.
name
mm-hmm.
and like just see what's born out of that
yeah.
too? Because it's not always just driving down the road and oh, a name pops in.
Yeah.
Sometimes
right.
There's different ways to come about that.
Yeah.
So yep. that's really good. Well, thanks for sharing that, Garen. That was really useful and encouraging. So, and maybe a baby step. So if somebody out there listening is like, okay, I want to get better at this. Maybe a baby step is like, and I go through seasons where I do this. I'm not religious about it, but I'm not in this season right now, but I have been. Where like, I'll have a rule where like, I just don't listen to anything in the car. Where I don't mm-hmm. have anything on. And when I'm driving, I'm just mm-hmm. in my thoughts. And I'm mm-hmm. just even asking God, like mm-hmm. that same thing. God, I have some downtime. I have 9 minutes mm-hmm. till I get there. Like if there's anything, would you just put on my heart mm-hmm. and just like be open to whatever it is. So maybe that's a baby step.
Yeah.
It's really simple.
That's what happened to me Thursday. I chose not to have the radio on that morning so I could think and pray a little bit. And that's when that thing happened. And
yeah.
So
could be a good way to start that. Okay. Thanks for sharing, Garen. Okay. Now we're going to get into this, which I thought was so good. You talked about praying to the Son and praying to the Spirit because we can pray to all three persons of the Trinity. And you said that we are to pray to them about their roles.
Yeah, and their roles.
I really liked that. The role of Christ, of course, being that he was fully human, was acquainted with grief and loss and pain and hardship in life. And so when we feel those things, it's so natural to just go mm-hmm. to Jesus.
Yes.
Say, Jesus, I was just betrayed. I feel really hurt. I feel overlooked. That's you. That was your time on earth. Like, how do you know, encourage me in some way. Give me a word on that, Jesus. Or maybe you just sit with him and say, you know, we feel the same.
Yeah.
I know that you feel
you get me.
Pain.
You understand that?
Yeah.
I need your strength. I'm going to come for your grace and strength in these times. And I'm needing it right now
because
this hurts.
He gets us.
Yeah. He gets us.
.com. Yeah. So we probably just ruined that moment with that joke. But yeah, that Jesus, he does. He gets us. There's a reason that campaign is so successful because he really does. So praying to him about those things. And then with the Spirit, his job is to convict us, to enlighten our hearts, to lead us, to guide us, to regenerate us.
Yeah, revive us.
So when we're feeling like we need that, just asking him for it. Spirit, just like David asked to be cleansed, like if there's anything unclean in my heart, mm-hmm. would you show it to me? Mm-hmm. Or I'm feeling really down. Would you just like regenerate my soul? Mm-hmm. Would you be my spring of living water? I don't want to go to the world for like being filled up. I
yep.
want you to do it. And
yep.
so just praying to them, asking them to do the things that they do
yeah.
naturally because of who they are.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love what you just said. Jesus talks about the Spirit. He'll be the spring that will overflow in you. And yeah, when you feel dry, it's just like, Spirit, I'm needing that liquid refreshment you are. I'd like you to live out through me or spill through me. Or yeah, there's just so many things that they each, roles they play. I gave more time to the Spirit than I did Jesus, but yeah, there's just so many roles they play. And so that's why I think knowing who they are and what they do is really helpful because
yeah.
then I know better how to talk to them
yeah.
for things. I can't tell how many times that Romans 8:26, I do not know what to pray for somebody or how. And I'll just be like, Spirit, thank you that you're in me. You know, just thank you that you're praying for them.
Yeah.
Can you give me words? Like you were just saying, like, I don't know what to ask. Is there something you want me to ask for them?
Yeah.
Or, and I don't always get an answer to that, but
right.
still, that's one of his roles. So I talk to him about it.
I think one of my biggest hurdles in faith is that I often view myself as too important and more important than I am. And in prayer, that really like squishes my prayer life because it's like, I got to pray the right thing for the right person at the right time. And the smaller I am in my estimation, the easier it is to pray. And I think the more God uses it, like, yeah, hey, this friend just came to mind, Jesus, and I literally don't know what to pray for them.
Yeah.
But your word says that the Spirit will give words. And even when I don't know what to pray, that he prays it for me. So like, my friend, I'm just lifting him up to you, and I don't even know what to pray for him, but I know you're going to use it. And just not having to know everything all the time, just remaining really humble in that, super freeing. And I walk away from prayer more filled up when I am small in my eyes than when I'm this big figure who has to pray the right thing in a powerful way. So that's a pro tip from Jordan's brokenness, I guess.
Amen. I mean, I totally get that. I get you.
Hey, GarenGetsUs.com. Let's get it trending. Okay, last thing, as we have just a couple minutes, you ended with this book by a guy named Sky Jathani. We've read one of his books as a staff, and he's really good. And I don't remember the name of the book, but he talked about making the leap from communication to communion in prayer. And you just voiced a little bit of your journey with that, and that you're not there. And I just wondered if you had, you know, another 30 seconds or a minute to add on to what you said Sunday. What would you talk about as far as making that leap from communication to communion with the Father in prayer?
Yeah, I think the part of the problem with me is the way I was trained as a new believer's prayer is only talking. And so to me, it was communication for so long that, I mean, it was before him that I knew this sense of communion, but he made it jump off a page to me of like, there's a difference. And he had a cool diagram, right? He's good at diagrams. I like, but just to realize, yeah, the thing he wants from me is not just my talking, but my communion. And you know what that's like. You have close relationships. I mean, the girls, we kept them several hours yesterday afternoon. And there's a lot of talking that goes on with us, reading books and all that. But there's also times they just want to sit in your lap and there's no talking at all. That's communion. And so I want to do it.
Man. When we think of God letting us just, you know, sit in his lap in that same way like a child, that's a really moving thought.
It's moving.
That we can just be together with him.
But how do you do it? Or how do you get there? How you experience it? That's what's hard for me.
Yeah.
So I live in my head a lot.
Right.
So, but I want it. And if we could all just ask for that, Lord, I want to learn what it means to commune with you and not just communicate.
To you.
Yeah, not just to you, right? But with you,
right? Be with you.
So, I know a few people I feel like are there. Most of us probably aren't. But my appeal is, can we just all start asking for that more? Like, I really want to know what it means to delight in you. It's hard for me to understand what it means to gaze upon you, like David says, just sit and gaze. I know what it's like to gaze at my wife or my kids. It's kind of harder for me to think about that. I mean, there's some ways I know how to do it, but just wanting to know him more experientially and not just talking to or about.
Right. Garen, if you're having problems with that, I have this really cool new idea. It's called modalism. I'd love to tell you guys sometime. It's on my page,
Garen. That'll totally take care of it.
It's on my webpage, GarenGetsUs.com. You could visit it.
I mean, how about you, Jordan? How do you live into this? Or how do you try to live? Because we talked, remember when we talked in that book with, and we got the with chapter, and I shared like, where are you guys with this communion? That's still real ambiguous. How would you answer that? What's that look like for you? Or how are you growing in that?
I'm getting more into a pastor out west named Tyler Staton, and I'm reading a book by him right now. And something he's really good at is, he says, just beginning his day in silence. And so I feel like as I put that discipline in my life, it just creates space to commune. And in that, I feel a lot of freedom to kind of let my mind wander a little bit with Jesus. Because I feel like in that time, he's showing me things. And not always. Sometimes it wanders to useless stuff. Or at least seems useless to me. But I think when I try and force communion in the silence, and I'm like, no, I can only think about these three things and anything else I have to hold out. That's when my mind gets restless. But when I invite the Spirit into my quiet time, and then I say, take me where you want me to go. And I just set a timer. And for 5 minutes, I'm just going to think. And I'm just going to let my mind kind of wander and trust that Jesus is going to take it where he wants it. I don't know if that's heresy or not, but that's where my quiet times in the morning have been lately. And at the end of it, I feel like sometimes he shows me stuff and sometimes not, but no matter what, I feel like I have sat with him, you know, kind of just like sitting in the lap. And maybe I'm just, you know, I hope that I'm thinking about the things he's thinking about, but I know that whether or not I'm getting a direct word every time, I am with him. So I'm not an expert, but that's what I'm trying to get good at, is just sitting in the silence and inviting him into my headspace. And so it's a baby step. I don't even know if it's in the right direction.
Yeah,
but
it does sound like heresy. Like, I think I'm leaving this church.
Like the guy who wrote our book, I forget his name all the time. Disciplines.
Richard?
Yeah, Foster. Like Foster says, right? It's a big experiment. We try things.
Right.
So I'm in the middle of my experiment right now. Yeah. So.
And at first it's not easy, right?
Yeah.
It takes time. I appreciate you sharing that and that you're doing that.
Yeah.
And
I feel silly doing it half the time. Truthfully. I mean, if we're being honest.
Yeah. And we need to be honest, because if most people tried this, that's how they'd feel.
Yeah.
And we need to say that reality.
Right.
Or the reality that our heads end up running into everything we have to do that day. And I'm like, I just spent 5 minutes instead of thinking about God, thinking about my day.
Yeah.
And then you get frustrated.
And you have to wage war against the lie that when you just sit there and let your mind wander with Jesus sometimes, that it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I get up and I'm like, I just burned 5 minutes. I could have been so productive. But in reality, I sat with Jesus.
Yeah.
And so, we're not experts, but we're experimenting.
Yeah.
So.
That's awesome. Okay. Thanks for sharing that, Jordan.
All right. We promise that's the last one on Trinity for a while. I know it feels like we've been doing this for a while, but it's been really good. So thank you for taking us through it, Garen.
Yeah.
We've got a couple messages. I think you're doing Triumphal Entry next week and then Easter after that. And then we're going to jump into a sermon series that I am seriously so excited for.
Great text of scripture. So I'm excited too.
So we're going to hit that. It'll be about a month and it'll be really great. So thanks for being with us on the Trinity journey. Sorry we were gone for a little while. Hopefully you're still listening. But we'll be back next week.
Hope we didn't lose the K-Staters with my comment earlier.
Oh, I think we lost them long ago, Garen.
Yeah, long ago. We love you guys. You're the yin to our yang or whatever. I don't know.
Oh boy, we're going to end this while we're still.
Yeah, we may have to edit that last one.
While we're still within orthodoxy. All right, see you guys.